3:5. Along with announcements made, I want to welcome each of you here this morning. We're grateful for the opportunity we have to worship our God and to serve Him. And we're thankful if you're visiting with us, encourage you to get your Bible and study with us. In a few moments, we'll stand and sing the song that's been suggested. If you've never put Christ on in baptism, all things have been made ready where you can confess that Jesus is the Son of God and be immersed into Christ for the remission of sins. If you have your New Testament, if you'll turn with me to the book of Acts in the 12th chapter, I want to read verses 1 through 9 for the thought of our study. Acts chapter 12, beginning at verse 1. Now about that time, Herod the king stretched out his hand to harass some from the church. Then he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword, and because he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to seize Peter also. Now it was during the days of unleavened bread, so when he had arrested him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four squads of soldiers to keep him, intending to bring him before the people after Passover. Peter was therefore kept in prison, but constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. And when Herod was about to bring him out that night, Peter was sleeping, bound with two chains between two soldiers, and the guards before the door were keeping the prison. Now behold, an angel of the Lord stood by him, and a light shone in the prison, and he struck Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, "Arise quickly," and his chains fell off his hands. Then the angel said to him, "Gird yourself and tie on your sandals," and so he did. And he said to him, "Put on your garment and follow me." In the 12th chapter of the book of Acts, we begin to read and see where the people of God are undergoing great persecution. You'll find that they're being persecuted by the powers of the be, as well as the religious people. Herod the king had put forth his hand and had took the life of the beloved James, and then he had Peter seized with the intent to have him put to death after the Passover. However, as we read in the book of Acts in the 12th chapter, you'll find they're making prayer and intercession on behalf of Peter. The church had come together and had been praying for Peter's release. I like that statement that the church, the people of God, were praying on behalf of Peter. But it's my desire at this time to point out several things in regard to this incident that I hope can help us see the divine side of things and the human side. I want us to recognize that God had a hand in the deliverance of Peter, but there was also some things that Peter had to do. That it was not all left up to God, but that God did what was necessary, and then God told Peter to do some things. I first want you to take note in the book of Acts and the 12th chapter, and call to your mind some things that God did in this act. First of all, in Acts chapter 12, we see where God sent an angel. I want you to recognize that an angel was simply a servant or messenger of God. But I want you to realize this was a divine act. Here God sent His messenger, this angelic being, to go into the prison and bring out Peter. Secondly, I want you to note in the book of Acts and the 12th chapter that in verse 6 that he was bound between two soldiers with two chains. And notice that the Bible said that the chains fell off his hands in verse 7. I want you to know, my friend, that this was done by the Lord's, for even the guards did not know it was being done. And Peter wasn't able to do so, for he was asleep at this time. So when I read my Bible, I recognize one thing. I recognize that God sent an angel, and that God had delivered Peter by unshackling the chains. But notice a third thing God did. God unlocked the cell door. The Apostle Peter could not do so. The doors were opened as the beloved man went out. This was another act of God. In Acts chapter 12, you'll find that there were guards at the door, and yet, my friend, God opened the door so that Peter could escape. And thus far, I see God doing a great work. I see God sending the angel. I see God unshackling the chains. I see God opening the cell doors. But then if you drop down to verse 10, notice what else God did. When they were passed through the first and the second guard post, they came to the iron gate that leads to the city. Now, my friend, when they got to the iron gate, what was Peter going to do? He couldn't open that gate. But look at what the divine record said and measure it by what the Bible said. Notice the Bible says, which opened to them of its own accord. And they went out and went down one street, and immediately the angel departed from him. I want you to observe that this time that in the book of Acts in the 12th chapter, the angel, God, had opened the iron gate. I fail to see how that anyone could deny that these acts are divine. No man could do them, but God could do them. But now then, let's look at the human side for just a moment. And notice that there were some things that Peter had to do. There were some things that God did for Peter, but notice that God did not do everything for Peter. First of all, in your Bible, in the book of Acts, in the 12th chapter, notice the human side. The angel struck him and said, "Arise up quickly." Notice the Lord did not make him arise, but told him, "Get up." I like that statement. Here is the angel. He gets the attention of the sleeping apostle. He says, "Arise." And I want you to note, my friend, Peter, on his own accord, got up. But then secondly, if you take your Bible, notice in verse 8, he said, "Gird thyself." In other words, dress yourself. At night, the outer garment was taken off. And now, he said, "You put it on." Notice the angel didn't put the garment on Peter. Notice the angel didn't have him dressed. But Peter had to put the garment on himself. God had done thus much so far, and yet notice there's a human side. There were things that Peter had to do. There were things that Peter was instructed to do. But then if you take your Bible in the book of Acts in the 12th chapter, notice again in verse 8, he says, "Put on your sandals." Notice again, they weren't miraculously placed on his feet. Now, did God have the power to do that? Absolutely. If he had the power to unshackle the chains and open the iron gate and to get Peter out of the prison with all the guards there, then God could have put the sandals on his feet. But that was Peter's responsibility. God was in the act of delivering Peter, but there were some things that were left up to Peter to do. God didn't do it all for Peter, but instructed Peter to do certain things. But then if you take your Bible, notice again that he said, "Follow me." Notice the angel did not carry him out, but Peter went out. I like that statement. Could God have just transported him from one side of the, from the prison, out of the prison, past the iron gate? God absolutely could have done that. God had transported other people in days gone by. But I want you to take note, that's not what God did. What God did was what he needed to do so Peter could be saved or delivered from prison. But there were some things that Peter could do. God did many things Peter could not do, but Peter had to do the things he could do. In other words, God did not perform the unnecessary things, and so he did what the Lord told him to do. Peter obeyed the Lord. And yet I like the statement, Peter said, "The Lord delivered me." Now, Peter, did the Lord do everything for you? No. But I'll tell you one thing Peter said, "He delivered me." Now, I want to take that, and I want us to think about a regard to spiritual things. When you look at salvation, have you ever thought that God has done His part? That God provided the sacrifice for the sin of man? In John chapter 3 and verse 16, the Bible said that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. You remember in the Hebrew letter and the 9th chapter when the Hebrew writer is writing, that the Hebrew writer lets us know that this is the one sacrifice to take away our sins. In Hebrews chapter 9, look at what he says in verse 28. So Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly wait for Him, He will appear a second time, apart from sin, for salvation. My friend, that's the final and complete sacrifice. God sent forth His Son to die on the cross. Why? He let Him die. He let Him be ridiculed. He let the crown of thorns be put on His head. Why? Because you and I needed a sacrifice to take away our sin. That was something you and I could not provide for ourselves. There's nothing we could do. There's not enough good works we could do. There's nothing we could offer God for our own salvation. He had to send His Son to die the perfect and complete sacrifice. That's the divine side. That's God working for our salvation. But then think about the gospel. God sent the Word of God. Why? We needed the gospel. We needed the good news. In Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse 23, it says it's not in man to direct his own steps. So God had to provide the way. In Romans 1:16, you remember Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God. Not man, not the devil, but God. What is it? The power of God unto salvation. God has given us His Word. Why? We need it. We can know the good news by studying the Word of God. We can understand what we need to do in order to be saved from our sin. In Mark 16, you remember it says in verse 16, He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. God told us what we need to do. But then think about the church. The Lord said He would provide the place where all could be in one. Open your Bible to the Ephesian letter for just a moment and look at the third chapter. In Ephesians chapter 3, notice if you will what the Bible has to say in verse 6. That Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body. Look at that same body. And partakers of His promise in Christ through the gospel. Now I know this much this morning. I recognize that the local church, that we are the one body. We are the body of Christ. And I understand that God had sent forth His Son to build His church. Matthew 16, 18. That's the divine side. Any church man builds is not divine. The one Jesus built is divine. And it's perfect. The universal church is perfect in every way. Now, local churches have their problems. And local churches have their falling out. But we are the people of God. We're blood-bought people. But then that brings up the human side. Now, God provided the things that man cannot, but notice God does not and will not do things that man is required to do. You know God left it up to man to preach the gospel? Have you ever thought that God could have sent angels down to preach the gospel, but instead in Mark 16, 15, He said, you go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's our charge. Man must go. God has given it to man to preach the Word. That's our responsibility. That's the human side. But secondly, man must hear the Word. That's the human side. Man must hear in order to be saved. You remember what was said by Jesus in the book of John in the 8th chapter? In John chapter 8, Jesus makes a great statement. If you'll look in verse 24. In John 8, verse 24, therefore I said to you that you will die in your sins, for if you do not believe that I am He, you will die in your sins. Now, my friend, one must hear and one must obey and believe. One must believe that Jesus is the Christ. And if one does not believe, then one will die in their sins. But then notice, my friend, one must obey. And notice God does not force any of that. Now, did God have the power this morning to just say, you obey? He has that power, but He's left you free will. And my friend, if you take your Bible, look in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 for just a moment. And when you come to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, notice what the Apostle Paul had to say when he begins writing in verse 8. He said, "In flaming fire, taking vengeance on those," now watch it, "who do not know God, and on those who do not obey the gospel." Now, God has given man a choice, but what's He say? If you don't obey the gospel, God said He will come in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And He says, "These shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power." That's the human side. That's what man must do. We can't earn our salvation, as we talked about last week. That's by the grace of God. But what we do is obey God. We have a responsibility. And if we do not do what God has told us to do, then like Peter, had he not obeyed what God said, then he would have still been in prison. And you know what happens to a lot of people? They're still in slavery to sin because they don't obey God. God has given you free will to choose what to do. Now, God has done all He can to save you. Now, God's not going to force you to be saved. God's given you a choice. Now, the question is, will you choose to obey? That's the human side. God has perfectly executed His plan and scheme of redemption. He's done His part. The question is, will you do your part in order that you might be saved? Oh, isn't that beautiful that God's done His part? And what's sad is there are a lot of people who've not done their part to receive deliverance from sin. If you're here and you need to obey the gospel, our prayer is that you would do your part this morning and obey the Word of God. As together we stand and sing, we cordially invite you.